Nation. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Deep hurt, massive news on the COVID vaccine poison front. He's a real statistician and computer guru. Comes up, you know, the whole MIT building is named after him. For those that don't know, that's coming up. But since Dr. Kirk Elliott mentioned this, I'd like to show it to you. Here's CBS in Massachusetts. Stay in your house. There's a curfew. Oh, deadly virus everywhere. Oh, Fauci's sick. He's a victim. This is just so transparent. Here's the clip, and then Elliott's going to tell you more.
Oxford, Massachusetts, and three neighboring towns have a reason for concern as mosquitoes carrying a potentially deadly virus called Eastern Equine Encephalitis, or Triple E, infected a resident who is now fighting for his life.
We don't want to see another human case of Triple E this year.
The rare but dangerous disease can cause swelling in the brain. There's no treatment.
Same story, like COVID. We only have one case.
The death rate is as high as
30%. New Zealand did that. Remember, not one case.
If you do survive, usually there are long-term significant health impacts, neurological impacts.
They always have women as the front people. Oxford, he trusts women.
Oxford has been declared a critical risk.
We don't think it's women as predators.
Prompting health department officials to recommend a 6 p.m. curfew for outdoor activities, including club sports.
These are recommendations. They're not hard and stop requirements.
And the school boards will go along with it and shut the football games down.
Sarah Fournier is also worried.
Right into the school year, creating fear.
Seasons, football and cheer could be jeopardized, but they're taking precautions by wearing mosquito repellent and long sleeve tops.
We can't stop. Why? They need to get out there. They need to play. This is their time to be social with their friends and be a part of a team.
Now, Triple E symptoms usually begin between 4 to 10 days after being bitten by an infected mosquito. According to the CDC, now some of those symptoms can include fever, headache, and seizures. Nora?
This is such an interesting story.
Of course,
story
the shots do that, too.
Thank you so much for bringing it to us.
All right, we got about 2.5 minutes left. Put bookends on this.
All right, so pandemics, terrible for the economy. So what we're seeing globally, this is what Klaus Schwab said. We're going to have, and you did a great show on this the other day, we're going to have all these post, pandemic type shocks, these economic shocks, these global shocks, these health shocks, right? And so they're telling us what's coming. Well, Europe now has vaccination card program that's about to go live in Belgium, Germany, Greece, Latvia, and Portugal. New Zealand has a new pandemic plan that's going to bring martial law and forced vaccination on people. If you even want to be in the country, it's like, what? I mean, so you've got these pandemics coming in. And I'm telling you what, Alex, America and the world can't survive another pandemic economically. You know, health-wise, sure, it's like you just get over it, right? But economically, you can't, because we've already spent all of our money. The only thing left is to print our way out of it, which is going to cause massive inflation. So therefore, we need to actually start thinking ahead of the curve, allocate into something that's strong, something that does well during times of inflation. Because when the World Health Organization now says Mpox is a world health emergency, they now have the authority to force shutdowns, mask mandates, travel restrictions, all of that stuff.
And they're clearly trying it. Bird flu, Mpox, the mosquito crap. I mean, they are going into full fear mode with 68 days of the election.
Yeah. And imagine a world where there's so much fear about health that they have to say, you know what? People better not even go out and vote. Let's just do mail-in ballots this time.
Curfews.
Like, well, they know how to maneuver through mail-in ballots, right? So you know, the point is, though, we need to identify this and not get scared.
I agree.
We need to actually identify this, have courage, have faith, have boldness, have wisdom to do the right thing. This is why we bring it up, not to be fear mongers, but to tell what's going on.
Dr. Elliott, you're totally right. God gave us a sound mind so we can get ahead of this and stand against this and expose it. They're trying it again, but we're exposing it right now. People can get ready and use their brain to get silver and gold for the best place that supports the broadcast 360Win right now. KEPM.com/gold, KEPM.com/gold, or 720-605-3900. Dr. Elliott, thank you so much.
Turmeric has been used as a medicine for thousands of years to treat digestive disorders, respiratory problems, arthritis, and depression. It has strong anti-cancer, anti-diabetic, antimicrobial, and antioxidant properties, and is one of the most effective anti-inflammatory medications available. The Powerful Bodies formula at InfoWarsStore.com includes 95% curcuminoids, Boswellia serrata extract, organic sage leaf, organic lemon balm leaf, organic thyme leaf, and piperine from black pepper. Bodies is arguably the best turmeric formula available. Get it now. Support free speech and support the InfoWar at InfoWarsStore.com.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, Steve Kirsch is a hero, an unsung hero. He is a tech guru, titan, super successful, got buildings at major universities like MIT named after him. And for decades, he's been a major philanthropist standing up for the people's rights on so many massive issues. And now, for 4 years, very early on, has been exposing the whole COVID power grab, the origin of the virus, the poison shots, and more. And he's really been on the front lines, like earlier this year and last year, when New Zealand's top statistician, the only guy that had access to all the databases, released the data, protected the names, and showed that it was the people taking the shots dying at massive levels. The government of New Zealand came after Kirsch. So this is serious stuff he's involved in. That's just the tip of the iceberg. And, you know, he doesn't want praise. We need to understand this guy's been fighting really hard, and we need to appreciate people like him and hold them up because they get targeted, people like Dr. Malone and Dr. Yidan and just so many others. Steve Kirsch is a philanthropist and executive director of the COVID-19 Early Treatment Fund, and where we try to get real treatment to folks and save a lot of lives, and the Vaccine Safety Research Foundation. He is the inventor of the optical mouse and one of the first internet search engines, InfoSeek. He has founded 7, and of course more by now, high-tech companies with $2 billion market caps. Steve is currently focused on safe and effective ways to, which he did in the fake pandemic. He received his BS, MS, electrical engineering, computer science from MIT in 1980. He's also featured 60 Minutes for his work on funding fluvoxamine, one of the first repurposed drugs to be shown in phase 3 clinical trials to scientifically reduce the risk of hospitalization death from COVID. SteveKirsch.com. Or stevekirsch.substack.com, stevekirsch.substack.com, on Twitter at stkirsch, and on Gab at stkirsch. And he joins us right now to cover the massive developments. I mean, he said this years ago, but now the actuaries, the government numbers, the Harvard-backed studies, almost all the new heart problems and cardiovascular, the shots. I mean, and they're now admitting this, but back of the newspaper. Meanwhile, he sent me all these new articles that he's written at Substack. U.S., U.K., Denmark, Finland, Norway, cumulative excess deaths kept rising after the shots rolled out. A summary of why the Czech Republic data is devastating to the safe and effective narrative. A novel, practical approach for directly assessing COVID-19 vaccine efficacy amongst hospitalization. Stunning confessions of an army doctor. You've got the major military surgeons and doctors saying they've seen a 900%+ increase. You got Norway and excess deaths aren't driven by COVID shots. What's causing the unexpected increase? And so we've got all these graphs, all this info. They're trying to roll out the bird flu, the mpox, monkeypox, the so-called mosquitoes. They're already doing attempted lockdowns in Massachusetts. And then we've got all these other players collapsing, some dying. Just so much to cover with Steve Kirsch. So Steve, I'm going to try to give you the floor as much as possible to lay all this out. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Alex. It's almost hard to know where to start, but I think I'll start with I had a discussion recently with Tom Jefferson, and Tom Jefferson is one of the titans of evidence-based medicine, and people who know him would tell you that this guy's a scientist. He's just impeccable. He's very hard to get a hold of, and I was honored to be able to talk to him for about an hour or so in a private conversation. And I asked him the question. I said, you know, Tom, I've got this bet with a guy in Israel, And I bet that the vaccines have killed more people than they saved, and I wanted to get your take on it. And he gave me an answer, which I kind of didn't expect him to give me. And he said, well, we don't really know. And I said, what do you mean we don't really know? He said, well, they're hiding the data. They won't show us the data. And he talked about, in fact, a committee of parliament, which expressly asked their Office of National Statistics for stats on the COVID, these COVID vaccines. And they were denied. A committee in parliament doing an official ask for data, for government data, was denied the data. He said that this just shows, and the reason for the denial is it was company confidential, meaning it's Pfizer confidential or it's Moderna confidential. And he said basically that when the authorities are hiding the data to be able to make an assessment of safety or lack thereof, then you really have a problematic situation. Look, you know, it seems pretty obvious to anybody who's a clear thinker on this, a critical thinker, that if the vaccines were perfectly safe and effective, why would the governments need to hide the data from people like Tom Jefferson and other scientists? And that's exactly what we have here, that they're hiding the data. And I told him, I said, you know, Tom, I recently got a dump from the Czech Republic, and I got record-level data from the Czech Republic. This is the first time in world history that we have record-level data on a vaccine from any government anywhere in the world ever. And so I analyzed that data, and I found that Moderna was much more deadly than Pfizer. And so we couldn't figure out, like, hey, if it was a very clear comparison. What we did is we looked at mortality rates if you got the Pfizer shot versus mortality rates if you got the Moderna shot and you're exactly the same age. And these shots were not, there was no systematic or systemic bias in the distribution of the shots. You were pretty much assigned a brand randomly. So if the vaccines are all the same safety, then you'd expect that the mortality rate 1 year out from the shot would be the same for all the brands. And we found that it wasn't. In fact, Moderna was high, and it was high not just in times of COVID, but also in times of non-COVID. It was the same increase in all-cause mortality. So it clearly showed that the Moderna shots were far deadlier, you know, 10% or more, depending on what age you were, than the Pfizer shots. And so even if Pfizer was a perfectly safe vaccine, Moderna should be immediately halted worldwide. But the Czech officials totally ignored the analysis. They don't have any explanation for it. And the press in the Czech Republic also ignored this. So people are ignoring the data that we have that is definitive. That's the sort of the very rare event where we actually have definitive data. Nobody wants to talk about it. And there is no statistician, there is no epidemiologist in the world who will look at that data and say, oh, these vaccines are perfectly safe. It's just not going to happen. They're just going to ignore it because it shows that it clearly shows, because this is record level gold standard data. It doesn't get any better than this data. It shows that the vaccines have been killing people. Now, there's another way that you can also get to the same conclusion, and it's easier for people to understand. And that's if you talk to an army doctor, which I did last night. And I talked to this doctor who said that he or she would like to remain nameless because they're afraid of losing their pensions and being disarmed, honorably discharged, and so forth. So I can't say who it was, but I can put you in touch with him or her, and you can verify.
Well, do you exactly remember, just to interrupt and then start over, because I don't mean to interrupt, the officer Macy in the Air Force, he had the internal documents, and they were finding, what, 96% increase in heart failure in young pilots, and it was grounding their force. Remember, that was a year ago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and this is what I heard was an earful. I heard, and this doctor, this army doctor, went on for over an hour.
And start over with his name, because I interrupted you. I'm sorry. Start over.
Yeah. But the bottom line is that I won't go through all of the detail, but the high level response from this doctor was, I don't know if it hopefully I should have put this on no interrupt.
No, you're here. I'm not interrupting. Keep going.
Okay. I had a silence a call. The response from this doctor was that I have seen more medical incidents in the last 2 years than I would expect to see in a lifetime.
Wow.
You know, so in other words, he said that he was seeing effectively things that he would never see in a lifetime. And he's seeing multiple of these events. It's like sometimes within a week. Two cases of Huntington's disease, which he said he'd only seen like maybe one in a lifetime, and he's seen two in a week. He's seeing two cardiac arrests in a day. He's seeing 10 strokes among these are kids. These are, you know, like 19-year-olds who are perfectly healthy. They come into the army and they're decimated. Three of the kids, they lost their vision. This is out of 4,000 under this doctor's purview. Three of the 4,000 went blind. And these are active kids. These are kids who are rock climbers, who are doing all sorts of sports activities. And now he talked about one kid, 19-year-old, who's now legally blind after these vaccine shots. And so he's now permanently disabled, and he gets $2,000 a month from the Army for the rest of his life because of his disability. They basically destroyed his life, and they're giving him $2,000 a month. Now, I talked to this doctor, and the doctor said that, you know, and the doctor said, oh, and I predicted that there would be a heart attack in one of our pilots piloting the plane, because these things are happening way too often. And 2 weeks later, there was a heart attack, just like I predicted. And, you know, to some extent, you can't, predict exactly when. But then this general who this doctor reports to said, okay, I trust you now because you predicted something that never happens. It never happens in the Army. And you predicted it. And it happened right after your prediction. So he said, you got my attention. And so the doctor told him the whole story. And this general said, hey, thanks very much, but I'm unable to really escalate this because I don't want to lose my job. And so this is what's going on here. These people are realizing that we're destroying the lives of these people who go into the military, and it's going to be hell for recruitment. You know, when you treat people this way, he said that they had five people on the base die due to these COVID shots, and it would have been seven, but two of them were resuscitated from the dead. So you're talking about upwards of seven kids, you know, 19, 20-year-olds out of 4,000. That's almost a 2% death rate. A 0.2% death rate, which is absolutely shocking to see in a very healthy cohort like this. This is unheard of. And so you don't have to go through all of these studies and the statistics and all that. All Joe Biden had to do was pick up the phone and talk to an Army doctor who would tell him exactly what's going on in the healthiest people on earth after they got the shots. And Joe Biden would have heard an earful. And it's distressing to me that these people who are in these leadership positions are not calling the people on the front lines to actually understand whether these shots are safe and effective or whether they're the most destructive vaccines in human history. And I can tell you that this doctor that I talked about was unambiguous about that question.
So incredible. And then as you're speaking, I think about the countless doctors and coroners and undertakers and nurses and oncologists that are prestigious, many of them, but many are just, you know, random people with good practices. You look them up, they got 4.5 stars. And they're like, I've been running my cancer lab and clinic for 27 years, and I'm seeing more of these cancers than I've seen the last 15 combined. I mean, you see the same story. You're naming the doctors, you're talking about it, and the statistics show it. I know you're all about the statistics and the number of deaths and the illnesses and the things we're seeing, but just generally, though, what is it in the shots that's doing this?
Well, it's the fact that the shots are effectively very disruptive. They're very irritating to they cause inflammation and they cause autoimmunity. And so when the shots, these mRNA shots go into people, they're going into all of their organs and expressing a foreign antigen. And so the body then is attacking the heart muscle as a foreign antigen. It's attacking the brain as a foreign antigen. It's attacking the lungs. It's attacking the blood. And it effectively turns the body into something that the body is now trying to fight against itself because it sees this foreign antigen and identifies it. And so what's happening is people are dying, and I'm talking to other physicians as well who are seeing, you know, five per thousand dead is the typical number. If you have a all-age cohort, it's 25 per thousand. If you have a geriatric cohort where it's very old people, but if you have a range of people, it's on the order of 5 people per thousand are being killed by these vaccines. And certainly for the 19-year-olds, we're seeing with for the very fit, it's per thousand, it's like, you know, 2 per thousand. I mean, it shouldn't be anywhere close to that that are being killed by these vaccines.
Why does it hurt people that are such great shape? It's the statistics I've seen. You're even more apt to have these. Is that the heart's just is already such good shape it just can't handle it, or what's happening?
No, it's because they have higher testosterone levels and they're put in stress more often, which secretes more the hormones that cause the heart to be under stress. And when the heart's under stress, there are a combination of effects that make it more.
So the heart's already damaged. The heart's already damaged. They don't know it. They go out and do what they regularly do. Boom, they're dead.
Boom. They have cardiac arrest and often that ends up in death. People, you know, when I talk to doctors directly and ask why their patients are dying and how do they know it's the vaccine, they'll talk about turbo cancers. They'll talk about people who are scanned. They don't have any health conditions at all, no cancers, no sign of anything. And then 2 months later, they're in stage 4 cancer. This is what's referred to as turbo cancer because it's basically not there before the shots. And then within months, essentially turns into stage 4 and they present to the doctor with stage 4 cancer. So it's the turbo cancers and it's the cardiac issues that when I ask people, how do they know that somebody died? They're usually talking about some sort of cardiac issues, ischemic stroke, or these turbo cancers that are killing people. And sometimes, in fact, the doctor that I talked to last night said, and I had one patient who had both a turbo cancer and had a cardiac arrest. So these are two super unlikely events to be had in someone who is young and healthy. And he said that this person had like, you know, 2 of these conditions when it would be extremely rare to find someone with just 1 of the conditions. And so that's giving you an idea of just how devastating these shots have been. And then we can see it, of course, in the larger numbers, when we look at the large data, and I've been playing around on the mortality.watch site on the internet. It's a great site because you can look at data all different ways if you know how to use the tools there, which I just recently learned how to use. And it's phenomenal, the kinds of data you can mine. So I was looking at cumulative excess deaths. And what I was seeing is that cumulative excess deaths were flatlined, and then COVID rolled out, and then, you know, it started going up. But then it started continuously going up ever since then after the vaccines rolled out. And so this is very troubling. It shows that the medical interventions that we have put into place are causing harm. They're not stopping the problem. They're either basically not stopping the problem or they're fueling the fire. And so all these interventions that we're doing are not making things better, because if things are getting better, then these excess mortality curves start to turn around and they start to go down. And what we're seeing is a monotonic increase in the excess all-cause mortality. And that's very troubling. It says that whatever we're doing isn't working, and that we're probably fueling the fire. Because if it was just COVID, you would see COVID always comes in waves. There's this wave and the next wave and the next wave. And you can see it when you go to Our World and Data, and you can see the spikes when COVID spikes, and then months go by and then you see another spike and so forth. But you see these all-cause mortality curves, they just go up in, you know, like almost a perfectly straight line. It's wild. And if you look at like 10
and we see the graphs around the world whenever the shots start, because different countries roll them out different times. I've seen the graphs. It's just perfectly right when they start. It just starts going up.
Yeah, it goes up a little bit when COVID hit. Those excess mortality goes up. But if it's natural virus, what happens is that the mortality, then the excess mortality goes down. It goes into negative excess mortality, which then causes the curve to go back to zero.
Because wasn't a lot of that lack of treatment and there wasn't a lot of that lack of treatment, because you were spearheaded exposing this lack of therapeutics and lack of treatment early on. Wasn't that most of the deaths?
Well, yes, a bunch of it was, right? Because we know that COVID is very treatable if you give people these repurposed drugs that the FDA says that you shouldn't use, like ivermectin. You know, anybody can go to the treat early, or I think it's not treat early. It's early
detection. Catch it in time.
I'm blanking on the name. I forget.
You'll remember during the break. Steve Kirsch, stay there. I want to come back, and because you're the expert at going through numbers, finish up with the numbers and all these Substack articles you wrote that you sent me. But then I want to just ask you, as a citizen, as a human, as a, you know, a person, how is it going for the Faucis and Bill Gateses and all of them? We have Zuckerberg coming out 2 days ago, distancing himself, saying, I was pressured to do all this. I feel bad about it. Covering up the COVID, covering up election meddling. What does that signify? Now we've got even the establishment turning against Kamala, the New York Times calling her an idiot, CNN saying she's shallow. I mean, because a lot of this ties into a lot of people in the system seem to be heading for the exits right now. And how is the establishment, from your research, handling the fact that the vast majority of people know the shots are deadly and know they lied to them? So what is the fallout, and how do we stop them launching their next scaredemic pandemic? Steve Kirsch is our guest. Stay with us. I was literally digging around for the two or three satellite phones I had. I'd given one to family. I was making sure they were charged, getting them ready. I have an antenna so I can be inside and use it for outside. I'm literally checking all my gear, getting everything ready, because I've been so offensively fighting the globalists that I basically had all my defensive in disarray. And so for me, Alex Jones, 74 days out from the election, and that's 76 days of hell once, you know, he's president-elect, I'm now spending 10, 15, 20% of my time getting ready, and that should show people the urgency in my mind. So the satellite phone company is a great sponsor. Let's talk about some of the basics of what people need. There's some amazing new products they've got that you think are awesome. They've got the best satellite phones at the best prices with the best deals you're going to find. And the good news is, They're not a sponsor a lot of the time because they're sold out. They supply law enforcement, the military. I mean, they are the biggest company in the United States. You get the best deal because they buy the most. You see them sponsoring, you know, all the other big shows as well. You need to go to InfoWarsPhone.com. That way we get some of the support. InfoWarsPhone.com. Tell us about solar panels, solar charging systems, sat phones, and this other really cool secure encrypted phone. Tell us about these products.
Well, the thing about it, you have to just look at what's happening. When they have 50 plus senators on the left getting sat phones in case there's a crisis, you should worry about it. If I'm going to keep people from uprising, I'm going to kill comms. It's the first thing you do. That's how you control chaos. I mean, every one of my family members has the sat phone, right? I make sure that all the sat phones every quarter, everyone's phone on my team and my family members, and then my emergency response vendors, every one of their sat phones has the numbers listed in the phone, right? So, and then we do a drill. Every quarter we do a drill. Why? Because that allows me to remind myself to charge the phone. But this is part of my emergency response team, the security team, the guys are bringing the food and shelter in, the fuel, the power, everything, right? The other thing that I do is I also have sat radios. So for me and my team, especially when we're on the border or we're areas where it's off-grid, I'm making sure that I have my sat radios, right? Another great tool that I have is, of course, like, you know, simple, right? You got your power bank, and then you have your actual charging, your solar charging panels, right? For areas that you're out in the desert, because what good is it if you have all your battery backups, but they're all dead, you know? Then I also carry a baby stick, which is an SOS. You can drop it, send text messages with a backup phone. That works extremely well just for grid down, quick messaging. The other part of it, the security part of it, is I put the security team on these garments. These garments are also really, really good aspects to have. And just for example, with Rescue the Republic, right? That's going to be September 29th in DC. You got RFK speaking, you got Tulsi Gabbard speaking, and you have the other big man speaking and a bunch of other people that that is all being announced as this stuff comes along. But all our security, the entire security team is using the secure phone. The secure phone is a Bitium phone, and it is secure messaging phone to phone. So if it ever were to get hacked, it scrubs all the messages from it. That phone completely shuts down. Everything clears off of it. It's water resistant. It prevents tracking, right? And this phone, to me, it's what NATO's using right now. So the commanders are using it. It's at the very, very top of it. It's something that I feel is going to be key, not just in the public sector, but in the private sector when it comes to family members.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
C19early.org, that's the website he was thinking of.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Freedom Command Central, it's the Alex Jones Show.
All right, Steve Kirsch. I cover 10% of his info, so I'm going to try to just sit back and not talk too much. This guy's so smart. But I hope people are listening to this because he's really a scientist and a researcher and is nailing the facts here. But I have some political questions as well I want him to answer. Then we'll drill into all of it. But look, there's court cases being one that they knew ivermectin helped. They blocked it. Cold-blooded, folks. FDA's lawyer admits agency's war against ivermectin was a mistake. Abuse of authority after doctors sue government and win. That's Project Veritas. So they're still doing some good work after stupid move to get rid of the great James O'Keefe. But, you know, there's that. Then we've got all those other big Substack articles. We've got the COVID novel therapy injection was a catalyst. New studies of causing death. But first, answering the big political question, separating from, you know, the numbers and the facts and just how insane this all is and how horrible this genocide is, how is the political class and the people that are guilty of this, Nuremberg 2.0, How are they responding? How would you describe their political position right now? Because it looks to me, with Bill Gates' wife leaving him and you know, Warren Buffett dumping stock in these companies and Fauci hiding out and massive exodus and doctors blowing the whistle and calls for their arrest and, you know, as I said, Zuckerberg coming out and saying they told me to lie and, you know, told me to do all this and told me to deceive about COVID-19. I mean, this looks like rushing to the exits now, Steve Kirsch.
Well, it's not quite rushing to the exits, I would say, compared to what it will be in the future. But, you know, the first rule of holes is that when you find yourself in one, stop digging. Now, the Democrats, by and large, haven't figured this out yet. You know, Kamala has she requires her staff that works on her campaign to be vaccinated. This is worse than the United States military. In the United States military today, you do not have to be vaccinated. You can refuse the COVID vaccine. If you work on the Harris campaign, you cannot work on the Harris campaign unless you're up to date. I mean, this is draconian. They should not be telling people what to put in their bodies, and they should not be silencing people. And, you know, the Democrats are continuing on with the same old narrative. Let's use censorship to silence the opposition. Let's not have any open debate. We're not willing to hear from the other side. You know, we all know that Bobby Kennedy tried to reached out to both the Harris campaign and the Trump campaign. And in the Harris campaign, they refused to even have a meeting with Robert F. Kennedy to really understand his position.
So they're desperately stonewalling. They're desperately stonewalling.
Yeah, I mean, this to me is troubling because, you know, the only way that we're going to bridge the divide, the only way we're going to heal America, and the only way we're going to come in as one nation under God is to go and we need to talk. We need to have a dialogue with people that we disagree with. And so when you have top leaders who are not willing to engage in any kind of dialogue with people on the other side, that is extremely troubling to me. And, you know, to look at the contrast, when Bobby Kennedy reached out to Trump, he got a call back within minutes. And this is within hours after Trump was shot, that Bobby Kennedy was able to get a call with Trump almost instantly. And he's completely rebuffed in even having a conversation with the Harris campaign. No possibility of any conversation. And that's the fundamental, you know, I used to be a big time Democrat. I was supporting the Democrats. I gave millions, like tens of millions of dollars to the Democratic Party. And my eyes have been opened here about these people are not willing to engage in any serious discussion with people that they disagree with. And this is fundamentally very, very destructive.
It's very dangerous. Let me just interrupt for this. They admit that it has been 3 years, almost 3 years, since the president talked to Putin, and no one's talking to the Russians. That, where's the red phone? Kennedy used to talk to Khrushchev almost every day. That is dangerous.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. You know, you're only going to bridge the divide of people with different views through dialogue. So we have a Biden administration which is basically censor, which is trying to censor and deplatform people that they disagree with. That is not the way you solve the misinformation problem. You resolve the misinformation problem through dialogue. Let's have an open dialogue. I have tried over and over. I've called Peter Marks numerous times at the FDA saying, we're willing to engage in a dialogue at any time. It's important that we resolve the misinformation problem about the COVID vaccines and other vaccines. Let's have a dialogue. And every single time, they completely refuse even to return my calls. They won't even give me the courtesy of response
and
saying, no, we don't want to do it.
In your experience, what does that mean, Steve?
It means that they can't justify that their position. It means they're hiding something. Whenever people are censoring people that they disagree with, it means that they're afraid of open debate and don't want to talk about the question. Even someone like Paul Offit, who claims that he's just a scientist and he wants to follow the science, I have reached out to Paul Offit through intermediaries since he won't take my calls directly. And he refuses to have any kind of dialogue. And then I saw a video of him where he was approached by the producers of Vaxxed, which is a movie talking about the other side of the picture, the harms caused by the vaccine. And Paul Offit was asked, hey, you know, would you like to appear in our movie? We'd like to ask you some questions. You can explain your point of view. And he used that language. You know, so this tells you that these people do not want to be questioned at all by anyone who disagrees with
and
them.
Steve,
and
the we've now got,
they can't justify their position.
We've now got the former head of Google, Schmidt, Eric Schmidt. We've got Hotez. We've got the UN officials saying they want NATO and the UN to suppress people's speech and maybe even send in troops. I mean, this is getting apocalyptic. This is getting megalomaniacal.
Yeah, you can't. Look, anytime you're trying to suppress any kind of speech, it means you're on the wrong side of the issue. You don't need to be a scientist to figure out who's telling you the truth. Anybody who's calling for, anyone who has a censorship list, like the disinformation dozen censorship list, these people are on the wrong side of history. Every single time
they
when
are.
Censorship has been used, people are on the wrong side.
Well, Steve,
side
you
of
say they're not racing the exits, but they're. But that process, I think you said you agree, is starting. What do you make of Zuckerberg? And I'm going to get into all the technicals. There's a lot more on that. And what do you make of them trying to launch all these new emergencies and emergency authorization for the bird flu shot? I think it's pretty clear they've got part of Massachusetts locked down right now over mosquito, that they're trying to get the fear going again.
Oh, yeah. You know, the COVID vaccines were approved under emergency use authorization. Where's the emergency? Alex, where's the emergency? Like, there is no emergency. Biden ended the emergency. Why are we still approving drugs under emergency use authorization? It's because they can. The law lets them get away with it, even though there's no emergency. Biden, like, I don't know when it was. It was many months ago. Maybe it was a year ago that Biden said the emergency is over. So why is the FDA doing emergency use authorizations for the latest COVID vaccines? You know, and the other thing that's really troubling to me is that there aren't any success anecdotes. Like when I ask for people who've been harmed by the vaccine, I get inundated with all sorts of horror stories of the vaccines and people know someone. And my doctor friend said, you know, everyone in the military knows someone, everyone in the military knows someone who's been injured by the vaccine. And so, but where are the success stories, Alex? I have never heard a success story. I've been looking at CNN. I've been looking at New York Times, Washington Post. You know, there's nothing.
Fauci's had six shots. Fauci's had six shots and has had COVID. Is it three or four times?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. The more shots you get, the more likely you are to get COVID. They prove that in the military. I got the stats in the military. It's like people who are unvaccinated weren't getting COVID anywhere close to the rate that people who are vaccinated getting COVID. So the military has this data. They're simply ignoring it. And it's so tragic. And yet we don't see in the New York Times or CNN, we never see that success story. We never see a case where that nursing home rolled out the vaccines and the 10 deaths they were getting per month went to zero from COVID after the shots rolled out. And in fact, the stories that I hear are just the reverse. The stories that I see, and I can see it in the Medicare data. I know there's this one clinic that I'm aware of. I know when they rolled out the shots because I got a call from someone who knows, who has a relative that works there. And I know when the shots were rolled out. Before the shots rolled out, they were having one death a week. And very consistently, after the shots rolled out, they were having eight deaths per week.
Wow.
For the next 3 weeks straight after the shots rolled out. That's not a coincidence. These shots are a disaster. That's why there are no success stories anywhere. There are no success stories in the nursing homes. There are no success stories in the geriatric practices. There are no success stories in the military. There are no success stories, period. And in fact, there was even a study that was published in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association. It was done by a very famous epidemiologist at the VA. And what was interesting is that when you look at the data and you reanalyze the data, and I did a paper on published in preprints on this. When you look at the data, it actually proves that the COVID vaccines and the flu vaccines were completely ineffective in reducing the rate of hospitalization. In other words, the COVID vaccines and the flu vaccines do not work. They do not prevent hospitalization, which means they have effectively no benefit because they also increase the risk of infection.
Sure. And Steve, I got you to digress off into that, but you're the real expert on the latest numbers of deaths, the statistics. So the 15 minutes we have left, I'm going to try to, all the data you've got, just give us the latest dump and then what you think we do about stopping them doing this again.
Okay, so the numbers you can estimate, the numbers that you get in terms of overall numbers, sort of an average number, is somewhere on the order of 2 per 1,000 people who got the vaccine. 2 of them were killed by the vaccine. And these people, when they die of cardiac arrest, they die of ischemic stroke, they die of intracranial hemorrhage, they die of turbo cancers, they'll die of DVT, whatever. But they'll die of these things that exist. And so they never put them down as a COVID vaccine death. They put them down as a cardiac arrest death or what have you. And so when you look at the numbers and you talk to physicians, and I've talked to many physicians directly, and the average for sort of all age ranges is about two deaths per 1,000. So there have been about 270 million people in America who've gotten the shots. So we're looking on the order of over 500,000 deaths that have been caused by these vaccines. And it might be more than that. It might be a little bit less. But it's on the order of 600,000 Americans that have died from the vaccine.
What about globally? What about global? We hear numbers of 18 million, 25 million, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's somewhere on the order of it's well over 10 million. It's probably between 10 and 20 million people have been killed by the vaccine worldwide.
Wow.
And so, you know, if you just look at the numbers, you know, 5 billion people, you multiply that by 2, that's 10 million. Other people will estimate a higher number than that. I think Denny Rancourt estimated 17 million. But we're all in the same ballpark here. We're all within a factor of 2 of each other. So, you know, 17 million people worldwide, or even just 10 million people worldwide, this is a disaster beyond all proportions. This is like multiple world wars, and it's being caused by the governments who basically just don't want to look at their data and don't want to admit it. They won't expose the data. Look, if these vaccines are saving lives, then just expose the data. Expose the record-level data, just like the Czech Republic did. There is no harm in doing that. Everybody will then have the numbers. And people like Tom Jefferson, who want to do evidence-based medicine, will be able to have the data to do their jobs. But the governments worldwide keep this data from the people. And that is very troubling. It shows that they're hiding something.
Tell us about the check. Tell us about the check data. Tell us about the check data. You just mentioned that you wrote an article about it.
Yeah, so the check data, somebody issued a Freedom of Information Act request to the Czech government. Now, the Czech government the Czech Republic government keeps very detailed stats. I mean, really impressed with the stats that they keep. And so they actually were able to respond to a FOIA request. Normally, these FOIA requests get denied because they put the vaccination data in a different database than the death data. And they say, hey, FOIA request, but we're not required to do a database join so that we can tell you when these people died. And without the database join, you're stuck. You can't do anything. But the Czech Republic responded to the FOIA request and either did the join or they had pre-done the join, the database join. So they were able to give us the records. So the records then were in plain sight for 4 months and nobody knew about them. And I just happened to be talking to a researcher in the Czech Republic and he casually mentions to me that, yeah, we have this insurance data, but we also have the data for the entire country. And I go ballistic when I hear that. I say, what? You have data from the entire country? Sure. And he said, sure. Yeah, it's been on the internet for 4 months. I said, tell me where. And then I spend the next 2 weeks full-time analyzing that data, and I find a way to analyze that data by doing a brand comparison between brands. And I look, because the only difference in the Czech Republic between getting a Pfizer shot and a Moderna shot is just pure luck. It was, you weren't allowed to choose. You were just assigned a brand. And so it's effectively like the large world's largest randomized trial. And what we found very conclusively is for all age groups, 40, and this is 5-year age groups, and we can do it single 8-year age groups too, 40 years old up to 95 years old, for like every single age, the Moderna shots were far, far more deadly than the Pfizer shots. And this is an all-cause mortality increase. Vaccines are never supposed to increase your all-cause mortality. They're always supposed to make you less likely to die. They're never supposed to make you more likely to die. And this is unimpeachable data. It's been reviewed by lots of people, lots of
smoking gun.
And nobody's talking about it. And no epidemiologist on the other side is saying, hey, look at this check data. It's proof that vaccines are safe and effective. And the fact that this data has never been available before, and nobody on the pro-vaccine side is looking at this data, means that, yeah, this data is like a touching of the third rail here. If you touch this, you're dead. You can't survive as an epidemiologist, because you'd have to admit that the vaccines are not safe. The vaccines are killing people. There's no other way to look at this data.
How does it correspond with the other big leak where they had the triple databases together in New Zealand?
So in New Zealand, we had less data than the Czech Republic, because the Czech Republic, we've got data for 10 million people. In New Zealand, we have data on 4 million people, but we only had about a third of the vaccination records. So we didn't have all the vaccine records. And we only had one brand of vaccine used in New Zealand. And so that's problematic, because you now have to compare the unvaccinated with the vaccinated. And this has always been problematic, because the vaccinated typically die at half the rate of the vaccinated. And it's not, it has nothing whatsoever to do with the vaccine. It has to do with the people who opt for vaccines are typically far healthier than people who don't take the vaccines. Now, that has nothing to do with the that vaccinated people are healthier, because people who get all the vaccines are far less healthy than equivalent people who get no vaccines. So it's not like you should be getting vaccines. Nobody should be getting any vaccines. If I had to live my life over, I never would have gotten any shots. If I had a choice,
you're saying,
I never would have gotten a single shot.
But you're saying you had better range finding with the Czech Republic because you had two different shots to compare as well.
I had brands. I had multiple brands, because I could look at AstraZeneca. I could look at Moderna. I could look at Pfizer, and I could look at Novavax. And so I could actually do a brand comparison in terms of efficacy and safety. And what it showed was that there was no efficacy whatsoever in these shots. And the safety, it was all in safety. It was all the difference in the different brands has nothing to do with effectiveness against COVID, which was zero.
It's just how effective it's making you sick or killing you. But I remember early on, researchers said Moderna was way worse. What, isn't it the same thing, just three times stronger?
Moderna, yeah, that's right. So Pfizer is a 30 microgram shot, and Moderna is about over three times more at 100 micrograms. So Moderna is three times the dose. And since we know that these vaccines are causing nothing but harm, the more dose you get of the harm, the worse it's going to get. So why should we be surprised when Moderna, which has anywhere, because some Moderna shots were 50 micrograms, so anywhere from 1.5 times the Pfizer dose to three times the Pfizer dose, we shouldn't be surprised at all that Moderna had a higher mortality rate, all-cause mortality after the shot. Now, we've seen the exact same signal in other databases. So in the VAERS database, we saw a 1.3 times increase, exactly the same number as in the Czech Republic data. And so we're seeing confirmation that this Czech data matches what's in the VAERS database.
Sure.
It matches what's in the yellow card system. It matches with all of these systems. And it even matches the increase found in the randomized trials, where the Moderna shots actually had 1.5 times the number of side effects versus of serious adverse events versus the Pfizer shots on a per shot basis.
So this is pretty much open and shut. We really appreciate you spending the hour with us. People should follow you on X. They should follow your Substack. How do we get you with this open and shut data in front of Congress, or what needs to happen now? Because the same group's going to try it again. They already are.
Yeah. I wish I've been trying to reach out to the staffs of the people who are speaking out, and they just ignore me. They say, oh, what district are you in? And I say, I'm in California. And it's like, you know, click, don't call us. We'll call you. The champion, though, of this has been Ron Johnson. So Johnson always takes my calls, and Ron Johnson has just been in the Senate. He's just been a champion of this, and a champion for the vaccine injured, and a champion for truth. And he's gotten lots of flack in the media for doing this. He's called anti-science and so forth. But, you know, to his credit, he's not giving up. He's not taking the easy road and just saying, okay, I'm not going to talk about this. Ron Johnson is just an amazing human being. And I've really got to give him a lot of credit for speaking out and for speaking for the giving a voice for the vaccine injured. And there are plenty of these people, and also holding these sessions in Washington, D.C., where he invites both sides to the table to have a dialogue. And the only people that show up are people on our side. And we're showing up with the evidence showing that these vaccines are unsafe, that nobody should take these vaccines. They have no benefit whatsoever, and they're nothing but downside.
Steve Kirsch, we're out of time.
Your
message is watch out. Thank you so much, sir. God bless you. We'll talk to you again very, very soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
Very powerful. All right, we have huge breaking news on the grabbing of the Telegram founder and information with the amazing guest that is coming up, Daniel Estulin. Please remember, I can't do this without you. We're saving a lot of lives here. The globalists are after us. They can't operate if we're still on air. Please support us. Plus, get great products. Go to our great sponsor, drjonesnaturals.com. That's my dad. All the great supplements, all the great nano silver toothpaste and products, and Next Level Foundational Energy. It's not a stimulant. It is the breakdown of high-quality methyl folate that is the breakdown of the cells of folic acid that most people can't fully process. It gives you incredible energy with no letdown. It's got a bunch of other great compounds in it as well. Next Level Foundational Energy selling out, but it's still available discounted at drjonesnaturals.com, drjonesnaturals.com. And there's so many other great products there, like Kava Chill. It isn't a depressant, but it makes you relaxed and clean and focused. We got incredible stuff that is a stimulant that's amazing, and that is Top Brain and so much more. Top Brain, Kava Chill, it's all there at drjonesnaturals.com. Please support our sponsor and get great products. If you want to keep us on air, go there now. I'll introduce hour number four with Daniel Estulin.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course, this one actually is. That's demonstrable. And it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. So we were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored? That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. We're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones